Chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28, chapter for most of us, Matthew chapter 28, and as you're turning, the Battle of Inkerman was fought during the Crimean War on November 5, 1854, between the Allied armies of Britain and France, against the Imperial Russian Army. The battle broke the will of the Russian Army to defeat the Allies in the field and was followed by the siege of Sebastopol. The role of troops fighting mostly on their own initiative due to the foggy conditions during the battle earned the engagement the name the soldiers' battle. One of these soldiers was just able to crawl to his tent after he was struck down. When found, he was lying upon his face, his open Bible before him, his hand glued fast to John 11 by his blood, which covered it. When his hand was lifted, the letters of the printed page were clearly traced upon it, and with the ever-living promise in and on his hand, they laid him in a soldier's grave. The words were, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Isn't that amazing? I want to speak to you this morning of that one who is the resurrection and the life. Christ Jesus the Lord. He is risen, beloved. He is risen, and we are able to gather today because of the risen Savior. Would you stand with me, please? Matthew chapter 28, beginning here in verse 1. Matthew 28, beginning here in verse 1. "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." Let's pray together. Father, thank you once again that we have this day to worship you in spirit and in truth. That indeed, as we have heard, we at least for now still has the freedom to gather together openly. We don't have to go underground to worship you. We, for the most part, are left to ourselves to practice our faith. But we understand, Father, that it's becoming more and more challenging. But today, dear God, as many would discredit our Savior, we, being genuine believers in the Savior Christ, celebrate the best celebration of all. And that is indeed the resurrection of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Once again, dear God, I pray. Use me as you see fit. Help me to proclaim your message to your people today. And again, I ask, if there is one, two, or three within our midst today that do not know your Son as the Savior Christ, may today be the day of their salvation. And then for those of us who have made professions of faith, oh Father, may we be changed men and women as we once again be reminded afresh of what we have in you and indeed your Son. Meet with us, and we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here we find at dawn, very early in the morning on the first day of the week, the two Marys, Magdalene and the other, and that, of course, was the mother of James and another woman in Salome. We find that in the Gospel of Mark. Well, they came to the sepulchre, the tomb of Jesus, and brought sweet spices, presumably to anoint, to prepare his body for burial, for they were not able to do it, seeing that it was the Sabbath. On their way, they ask amongst themselves, who shall roll away the stone, for it was very great. Beloved, do you realize today that is a sovereign question, even for men, women, and children in this odd time? For in the life of mortals lies this great hindrance to their path of life. Philosophers tried to remove this blockage through knowledge and ideologies. Scientists tried to explain the origins of man. Doctors attempted to cure every manner of sickness. Certainly the politicians and the philanthropists of our day try their best to make life better. But you know as well as I do that in spite of their best efforts, man continues to war against themselves and against others, and their dream of utopia, that place of ideal perfection, especially in laws, in government, in social conditions, well, at best, they start well, but it is never consistent, at least not at the same degree, and ultimately fails. Shall roll away the stone for us? The question remains. The greatest of minds throughout the ages to this day still haven't had victory over death. Man still lives for a time, but ultimately he still ends up in the grave, and no one is able to prevent it from happening, except he who is the resurrection and the life, Jesus Christ the Lord. The women found that out some 2,000 years ago, and many more are finding that out even in our day today. Hallelujah. Because Jesus has risen from the dead, they that have placed their faith and trust in Him will also rise again. Oh, beloved, as Paul said, comfort ye one another with these words. This morning I understand that for the most, if not all of you, you have heard a many a resurrection messages in your journey through the Christian faith. But here on this yet another opportunity, I want to draw your attention to, I believe, two sources of messages for us. On this passage, on this resurrection day, one from the rolled stone itself, and the other from the angel. Did I hear you right, Pastor? A message from the stone? Yes, you heard me right. But how could that be? Well, did not the Lord Himself say that if man would not testify of Him, or will be prevented from testifying of and for Him, even the stones, beloved, will immediately cry out? Luke 19:40. So let the rolled stone speak to us this morning, at least, in symbols. Firstly, the rolled away stone speaks to us today that death, which the philosophers, the scientists, the doctors, the politicians, and the philanthropists tried to prevent, let the stone tell us today that Jesus conquered death and life, eternal life beyond what we now know, is possible. Eternal life. The idea of the rolled away stone here is perhaps not what you would most likely imagine. This great stone was taken away from the grave. Not merely rolled away, as we understand it, to be only to be rolled back. The idea here was that it was blown away from the sepulcher, or the tomb door, and whatever sealed the Roman Empire or the Roman God's place in it was no match to the power of the one who rolled away the stone. What the stone rolled away is telling us here is that death's prison door is now wide open. And without a door, the believers can enter in through that door, but they will exit from it at the appointed time only known to the Father. Amen. As Samson pulled out the gates of Gaza, bolts, posts, and all, did this angel roll the stone away, seals and all? Oh, beloved, get the message of the rolled away stone. Sin is the great stone and it is what keeps man in the tomb of death. But because it is now rolled away, sin is also forever rolled away because Jesus rose from the dead and death cannot keep us in the grave no more. Second, the stone rolled away is a memorial. Just like the stones as God's people entered the promised land as they crossed the river Jordan. Epitaphs. Sculptures that we erect to tell generations after what mean these stones be. The rolled away stone is Christ, the victor memorial. That while his enemy Satan thought that he vanquished and vanished him in the grave, after 3 days, he rose triumphant and victorious, conquering death forevermore. Indeed, his heel was bruised. But because of the rolled away stone, the old serpent's head was crushed for all eternity. Oh, beloved, the stone stands tall. It stands tall as the monument of Christ's victory, and you and I are the recipients of that victory. Yes, we struggle and wrestle with sin, but Christ overcame sin for us. We are tempted by Satan, But Christ has already defeated the tempter and the accuser of the brethren. At the appointed time, we will leave this corruptible body only to be changed with an incorruptible one, again, because the stone was rolled away. Look to the stone, the chief cornerstone that is Christ, and you will never fear death and the grave, not now, not ever. Thirdly, indeed, the rolled away stone is the foundation symbol of our faith, very much like the empty cross behind me. For without the stone rolled away and the one who rose from the grave, our faith is in vain. We are yet in our sins and we are most miserable, the Bible says. Oh, my dear ones, are you resting and trusting in the eternal hopes upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? Are you trusting in Him and Him alone, believing that He died, was buried, and rose again for you? If so, you have a faith foundation based on the truth of the Lord and His Word. And indeed, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you personally and us corporately as a church. Oh, build upon the stone, the rock that is higher than you, the chief cornerstone, elect and precious. Because if you are trusting on anybody or anything else, you are building on shifting sand. And when the floods come in, the Bible says that it will fall, it will not stand. And don't forget, the same scripture says, great will be the fall of it. Now notice back in our text that the angel sat upon this stone, verse 2. Here then is the fourth message from the stone. And it is that of rest. Rest in what was accomplished by the one, again, who rose from the dead. Never fear, my dear ones. It is finished, said the Lord. It is finished. Now you think about that. I was just discussing this with the men yesterday morning. There are some words that we say or hear that change our life. I remember when in 1992, I looked at my father-in-law and I said to him, why? Because I knew I was going to take my children and my dear wife to a place unknown called Australia. And at that time, in my heart and in my head, I won't see him. At least, not for a long time. Goodbye is a word that changes our lives. Another word will be not guilty. Donald Trump is looking for that at this time. Not guilty. If you have been accused of a wrongdoing and are now found out to be not guilty, your life will change. Ben and B just got married, as you know, early this month. And I'm sure when Ben proposed to B and said, "Will you marry me?" And when B said yes, Ben's life changed forever. You're all smiling at me because you knew, you know that that's what's happened to you. Once she said yes, fellas, our lives are never, ever the same. Ricardo, why are you looking so sad? I'm just joking. It is finished. A phrase that changed our lives for forever. Never fear, my dear ones. That word has changed our life, and the stone rolled away confirmed that there is nothing more to be done, and you and I can rest in what He has accomplished. Do you long for those who have departed and gone from us? Just like the angel, sit and rest upon the testimony of the stone rolled away. Do you yourself expect to leave this earth in death soon? Do not fear. And sit on the stone rolled away and find rest unto your soul until your dying day. Are you discouraged? Are you disappointed? Are you disillusioned? Are you despondent, perhaps? Sit at the stone, just like Mary sat at Jesus' feet, not to be cumbered about, but to seek that good part which shall not be taken away from you. See the angels sitting on that stone, where there are both sides to it. On the one side, there were the keepers of the tomb. When upon seeing the angel, verse 3, his raiment white as snow, his countenance was like lightning. Notice the keepers were shaken for fear and became as dead men. Yet on the other side of that stone were the women whom the angel spoke to. Notice that the angel did not bother speaking to the keepers of the tomb. He had no business with them. Here then is the fifth message from the stone, that of a divide, a boundary between the dead and the living. For at the appointed time, the Bible says, the dead in Christ will rise again. Their graves will be opened, and they will ascend unto the Lord to be with Him forever and ever. Those that are in darkness. The psalmist says, the ungodly. Which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. My friend, which side of the stone are you? Are you on the side of the living? Or are you on the dark side of the dead? You don't have to be on the dark side of the dead. You can come to the light of the world that is Jesus. And if and when you do, His promise to you is that He will in no wise cast you out. Who or which side are you on? The side of the dead? The side of the living. I wish I can answer that for you. But you are the only one who can answer that. It's formal service proper. But if you have a question in regards to that, if you are in any way not having the full assurance, that not knowing your destiny after this life, I'd like to invite you to come to me, to Brother Branko, to Brother Ricardo, to Tim. There's plenty of us, ladies for another lady. And we would be gladly telling you not our opinion, but what the book says about how it is to be on the side of the living. Will you do that? You must be here for a reason. Somebody must have invited you for a reason. You came to that decision to come to church. And perhaps this is your opportunity to take stock, to take a moment and find out for yourself, where do I stand before my Creator God? And where will I spend the afterlife? In heaven or in hell? Oh, beloved, we would certainly be glad to tell you about that. The message or messages from the stone rolled away. Let us now hear what message of the servant, the angel, is. Verse 5. Fear not ye. Let's just stop there for a moment. Child of God, there is nothing to fear, for He hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1, 7. Are you in fear for fear's sake? Listen to what the Lord Jesus has said. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Again, are you fearful of death? Hear the Lord yet again. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Are you fearful of your sins? Oh, beloved, don't. Because if we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Once again, I say this to you. Do not be fooled. Do not succumb to this erroneous teaching that if you don't forgive, that God will not forgive you. As far as I know, the thief at the cross didn't have a chance to forgive anyone. Yet what God said, today you shall be with me in paradise. Forgiveness. The truth of forgiveness. You come to the Lord with a contrite heart and sincerity, He will forgive you. What a wonderful teaching of God. Forgiveness. Again I say, know your Bible and know what it says. The angel said, fear not ye. You know, my dear ones, do not fear of the past. It has been forgiven. Do not fear of the present, for it is provided for. Do not fear of the future, because it is safe and secure in the arms of Jesus. Then the angel said, fear not ye, for I know. What does he know? If there is one who knows, beloved, it will have to be the Lord. God knows the thoughts and intents of your hearts, even right now as you are looking at me. There's no hiding from the omniscient one. He knows all. God knows the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. He knows my and your down sitting and your uprising, and He understands my and your thoughts afar off. Psalm 139. He, the Lord, not the angel, knows the very number of hair in your head right now. He knows of your every need, and He has grace sufficient for that every need. He knows of your every trouble, but He is also our refuge and strength and a present help in our times of troubles. He knows our frame. That means our makeup. He knows that we are but dust. He remembers that we are dust, earthen vessels we are, made of clay. Oh, that may be so. But He also is the potter, and we are the clay. And He is the one that shapes us, molds us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Why? So that one day He will present a glorious church unto Himself, without spot and without wrinkle. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait. A glorious church without spot or wrinkle, holy and without blemish. So what does the angel know? Well, he knew that they seek Jesus who was crucified. You see, though the world, so to speak, crucified the Lord, these women were still seeking Jesus. Though many have dismissed Him, many have discredited Him, many have devalued Him, not these women. They came to seek Jesus. Are you seeking Jesus today? I didn't ask if you were saved. Clearly, these were believing women, and perhaps so are you. What I'm asking, however, is if you are seeking Jesus in the way that He needs to be sought, and indeed in the way that we live our lives for Him. Are you seeking Jesus? Or are you one of those that are straying away from Jesus? Only you can answer that. Notice what the angel said after. He is not here, for He is risen as He said. What an assuring and comforting declaration from the angel. For the women at the tomb that day, and by application to us today, beloved, we are not seeking a God that is dead. We are not seeking a God, small g of course, who is still in the tomb. No, He, our Lord, is alive, reigning in heaven above, interceding and advocating for you and me right now, seated at the right hand of the Father. And one day, He will come again to take you, Mrs. Kaufman. Take me. And though some of us will be already 6 feet under, there is going to be the resurrection of the sleeping saints, as we have learned previously. Oh, what a prospect we have in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Allah is not alive today. Muhammad is in the grave. Buddha, Brahma, Vishnu, Krishna, they're all Jim Jones, David Koresh, the Australian Anne Hamilton Bryan, Joseph Smith, Lao Tzu, Confucius, Felix Manalo in the Philippines, they're all dead. And none of them has risen from the dead. Only Jesus Christ did. Some of you as you entered this building this morning, said, Christ is risen. And somebody responded, He is risen indeed. Did you know that that statement of faith has been recited on Resurrection Sunday since the time of the early church? But I read something interesting as I prepared for us today, that it took some added meaning some 80 years ago in Russia. Apparently, in 1930, an atheistic communist leader named Nikolai Ivanovich Bukharin addressed a huge assembly on the topic of atheism. He did his best to dismantle the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, after speaking for about an hour, he asked anybody if they had any questions. There was a deafening silence in the auditorium that day, and no one moved. But then a man got up and approached the platform. He walked over to the podium and stood right next to the speaker, to the communist leader. He surveyed the crowd, looking left and panning his eyesight, looking to the right. And then he shouted, Christ is risen! The crowd rose to their feet and said, He is risen indeed! This is Russia. And whilst they are under communist rule, I say to you this morning, beloved, there are plenty more like you and me who believe that Christ has risen, and indeed He has. Oh, I wish I was at that meeting that day. I would have loved to experience that. Would you indulge me? I just want to hear it. Would you rise to your feet as you respond to me when I say Christ is risen? And you will say thunderingly, He is risen indeed. Let's do it, yeah? Alright, here we go. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Oh, that's so nice. Now sit down again. Let's practice. I love it. I do. Because I want to impress upon you, my beloved ones. Take comfort in the fact that our Lord has risen. And let us proclaim the truth about His resurrection. No matter what the world we live in does and continues to do. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Thank you. Thank you. See, changes your spirit, changes your mindset. It confirms within your soul that our Lord has risen indeed. Be encouraged, my dear ones. The Father sent the angel to roll away the stone, not to let Jesus out, because He has already risen out of the grave before the angel came. The stone was rolled away so that Mary and the rest of the women might be able to get in, to be able to see the place where He lay. Oh, my dear ones, that is still true to us today. The stone is rolled away so you and I can come to see the risen Lord through His inspired word, the Bible. And because He lives, our foundation is firm. The foundation of our doctrine is not a lie, but the truth. The truth that it is only through Christ, the only way, the only truth, and indeed the only life, that if anyone would come or desire to come to the Father, that if any lost sinner would be redeemed, it will only have to be by the Lord Jesus Christ and His death at Calvary. Oh, I've lived the early parts of my life believing that if I am going to heaven, it will have to be by my good works. And I knew in my heart, even back then, I can never ever keep up. And so when I heard for the first time that I have to trust and put my faith in the Christ who died for me, what a liberating freedom that is. And that's what you and I have this morning. I used to say, if it's up to me, it's up to me. These days, beloved, if it's up to me, it's up to Him. And I can say that only because of the grace of God, that in April 27, 1980, my Lord, my God, became so real to me in saving my soul. Oh, if you haven't experienced that, if you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you have not acknowledged the truth that only through Him that you will be saved, would you do it today? And we would love to help you in that. Because He lives, our foundation is firm. The foundation of our doctrine is not a lie, but the truth. The truth that it is only through Christ, the only way, the truth and the life can only get a lost sinner, be redeemed and reconciled back to God. Because of the resurrection, our faith is not in vain. It is not futile. Because He lives, our faith also lives. Our preaching has the power of the cross behind it. That power of God unto salvation. Because His resurrection secured and sealed our forgiveness. Not only have we been redeemed by His blood, we have also been justified by His life. Our sins forgiven. Our future secure. Those that have gone before us did not die in vain. In fact, we are waiting as they are for us to be reunited. So when the trump of God shall sound, Mrs. Kaufman, we are going to see Brother Eric again. Judy, we will see your hubby, Brother Larry again, and plenty more that have left us in this congregation. I'm looking forward to see Brother Alf again. I'm looking forward to see Brother Murray Graham again. I'm looking forward to see Brother Ken Christian, who used to sit there, and every one of our brothers and sisters that have left us, we will see them again because the Lord Jesus Christ has risen, and indeed He has risen. Amen. Amen. Comfort your hearts, beloved, with these words. Father, thank You for this time. Thank You indeed for the foundation of our faith. Indeed, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For without the resurrection, our faith is in vain. We are most miserable, the Bible says. And indeed, we are yet still in our sins. Hallelujah for the risen Savior. Again, I ask, if there's but one here that do not know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, as we pause for a moment, I want to give them opportunity. Is there anyone here right now, heads bowed, closed eyes, no one looking around? Is there anyone here right now, Pastor Manny? I don't know where I will spend eternity. I haven't had the opportunity to seek forgiveness to Jesus. I've only just heard right here, right now, that He is the only way, the truth and the life for me to go to heaven with Him. I'd like to know. I'd like to know where I will spend eternity before I die. Is there anyone right now? Right here, right now, here on my right, is there anyone? Would you raise your hand if that's you? What about here in my middle? The middle section. If you do not have the assurance of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, would you raise your hand and slip it back down? Here on my left. Pastor Manny, I need prayer. I wanted to know how to be saved, how to be in the bright side, in the light of the world, Jesus. Anyone? Okay. What about us? Perhaps we have made profession of faith in Jesus Christ. You know, the resurrection demands a reaction. What will it be for you this year, another Resurrection Sunday, 2024? When you say He is risen indeed, does that mean that you will have no more fear because you are trusting in the Lord Jesus? When you say He is risen indeed, does that mean that you'll be more faithful to Him than you've ever been before? Oh, beloved, what will be your reaction on this Resurrection Sunday for this year? I believe you know what to do. If there are confession of sin that needs to be made, if there is some recommitment of your life to the Lord, would you do it? Right where you are right now, take a moment, speak to your Lord, and tell Him how much you appreciate Him rising from the dead. He died so that we may live. And He rose from the dead that we can spend eternity with Him. Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the comfort and the challenge of it. I pray now, Lord, as we conclude our worship, at least this morning, you be in the very center of our thoughts. Lord, those perhaps that are bashful, those that are embarrassed, those that are unsure, help them to realize and acknowledge that it is only through Jesus Christ that they are able to be forgiven of their sin and indeed to spend eternity with you. Oh, I pray for our church, each one of us, those of us who have been in the faith for so long, help us not get tired and so familiar with the resurrection. Every time that we would be refreshed anew and make a renewed commitment to the One who has risen from the dead. We ask all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.